As a woman today, working in a creative field, you often are pulled in two different directions. You must be bold and confident, but open-minded and supportive. You must listen, but have a very strong North Star and point of view. You must have goals, but you must be open to different things along the way. And I think what I was thinking a lot about was the fact that, like, you never have a right answer. You just hope that you are more right than wrong.
Hey there, this is More Right Than Wrong, the podcast where we discuss the contradictions of being a woman in the modern workplace. I'm Rachel Yu.
And I'm Angie Lee. So we've both built successful creative careers in a wide range of companies, from agencies to startups to corporates, and we often found ourselves walking a tightrope between many contradictions. This journey at times has felt both exciting and exhilarating, but it can also feel lonely and difficult.
And while Angie and I have a lot in common, we've discovered that we're also the converse of each other. I find, for example, that I'm often the creative in the room who's always asking the business questions.
And I went to business school just to discover that I actually have the heart and sensibilities of a storyteller and creative. So we will be your guides as we talk to successful creative leaders, founders, and executives who are finding their own balance with these complex tensions, with the hope of generally getting more right than wrong.
In the clip you just heard, we were just starting to dive into these opposing tensions that women often find in the workplace, and also explaining the origin of this very podcast as well as its name. So let's get into it.
So for me, as a working mom, it was like, I can be judged for being too mom-like or being too professional-like, you know? And so it was that tension that really said, how do we have an open conversation about the challenges that we face navigating these things? And how can we encourage others to think a lot about and feel comfortable in the choices that they make in navigating this uncertainty?
And what we loved about this paradoxical, seemingly paradoxical theme was that there's so much of that, both being Korean Americans, like we're both Korean, but we're American, right? And then I'm creative, but I came from business. And then Angie works in business, but probably more creative than me in a lot of ways. So there's all these polarities. I mean, I was way too chill for business. They were like, can you please wear more structured clothing? Like, I just got a lot of feedback like that. And then I was way too uptight for creatives. They were like, you're really harsh, too direct. You need to really understand artists. And so I felt like a fish out of water everywhere, a little bit of like, how do I balance this stuff? You know, one of my greatest skill sets is empathy, but then perhaps I'm too emotional or sensitive at times. So it's like, while there are so many tensions, it felt like a great way to capture the overall theme of what we're always having to navigate. And especially now in the modern workplace, because things are changing all the time and you want to stay relevant and, you know, keep up with modern workplace culture and expectations, especially Gen Z as they're entering the workforce and what's the best way to help them thrive. And at the same time, you know, be true to who you are and be authentic to who you are as a working professional. And it was just a great way to encapsulate all of those themes.
Okay, so why don't we then jump into our topic for today?
Great.
You ready?
Yeah.
So we're talking your career as a journey or a destination. What does journey versus destination mean? So when you think about your career, what do you think your path has been? Has it been a journey versus a destination?
I think this is, for me, a little bit easier of an answer because I'm a total process person. I'm very much all about the experience of something. Like even the way that we do work at my branding and design agency, I say all the time how process drives outcome. You could have the exact same outcome, two different ways to get there, and totally two different reactions from your clients of like one could love it, one could hate it. It looks exactly the same, but it was entirely about the process that drove how they feel about it. So I'm all about the journey. Like I feel like I can set destinations, but then what ends up happening, like at distinctive points of my career, like when I pivoted from business to being on the creative side, and even on the business side, like there's a momentum inside the journey that almost feels like it's carrying you, and it's sort of this like groundswell of like you're getting pulled in these different directions. Like, I didn't even have time to think about my destination at times. It's kind of just like, you're just so in the thick of it. I mean, even right now, I'm like, what is my destination? It feels so abstract. But I think you're a little bit more goal-oriented, right?
Yeah, I've always been goal-oriented. Like, I was always that overachiever goal type. And so for me, very much like coming out of college, I was like, I want to be a CMO one day. Like, mm-hmm. It was very much about that destination. And it wasn't, you know, on retrospect, after now having worked for 20 years and having achieved, you know, being a head of marketing at Samsung and having had the CMO role in the past couple of roles that I've had, I've come to realize that really the journey is so much more enjoyable and formative. Because I think if you are so like black and white focused on where you want to go, you miss the serendipitous opportunities that can take you on a much richer and more full experience. So on retrospect, I've begun to appreciate the journey and now kind of understand that like it's very much about then keeping kind of a North Star. Where am I generally trying to go?
Yeah.
But recognizing that along the way, you're going to get thrown a curveball and it can be a really good thing. But what's funny about all of this is always in the moment, you will not think it's a good thing. In the moment, you'll be like, oh, crap. I didn't get the job I wanted. I didn't get the project I wanted. It didn't turn out the way I wanted to. Or it might be like, oh, wait, I have this new opportunity come my way. But no. I want to go down. Like if you are so committed to this one path, you might just miss the opportunity to kind of do something richer and more exciting.
For sure. So let's get specific. Like, do you have a destination currently? It gives always CMO, but once you achieve CMO, then what's next? What's next on the destination list?
Well, it's interesting because I think that's what actually brought us together, right? I'm in the process of trying to understand what that new destination is. So just to orient everyone on where I am in my career, you know, I'm the global head of marketing. I feel really confident in the craft and the kind of the process of where I've ended up. But I'm also kind of thinking about like, what's the next 20 years going to look like? On top of that is the fact that like my kids are now 10 and 13. And so they need less of my attention. They're more independent. And so therefore I can then start to kind of redefine what I want to my days, weeks, years to look like, right? Because I have more capacity to, I spent my entire 30s like raising young kids. And now I'm like, okay, I have a job I love. I'm doing great work, but what's next?
Yeah.
What about you?
My career was very circuitous. My first job was at a management consulting firm, A.T. Kearney, as a business analyst. In our first week of orientation, everyone had to go around and tell their goals. I mean, you would have been like, CMO. I was like, most people actually said like, retire early at 50, play a lot of golf.
Whoa.
But they had that professional goal of retiring early, right? I was like, just want to run a lot of marathons and be a stay-at-home mom. And everyone looked at me like, what?
Wait, was that really your goal?
That was my goal.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of like, well, I'm not going to be a mom right now. And so what am I going to do in the meantime? I might as well like work with smart people, have some challenges, grow as much as I can professionally and really intellectually. In the consulting or banking world, especially, there's this momentum of 2 to 3 years out, go to business school. And so there's like this huge push, do that. And then same thing in my creative career, there's this big swell of like, oh, you're a designer, you should be an art director, like move on up to be an art director, a creative director. That's what everyone wants. And to be really senior, get to be an executive level as fast as you can. And both times I had the same reaction where I slammed the brakes. And if it's a journey analogy, like I pretty much stopped in the journey and then like hopped on the SpaceX and went to Mars. Because I was like, whoa. I don't know that I want to do what everybody else is doing. Why are we all doing this? Like just questioning, having really strong existential questions that like my first one was what I called my quarter life crisis, did a lot of internal investigation on what do I even want to do for a career? Because I felt like business school, even if you asked my friends who were going, they didn't necessarily have a reason. It's not like they were like, I love business. They were just like, oh, I don't know. That's just like what you're supposed to do next. And then it positions you really well to be marketable and get a great job after. My reaction in my creative career it's the exact opposite of what everyone else was doing. When I was getting headhunted to work with C-suite executives at networks or starting agencies with people, I went on a sabbatical.
So why is it, do you think, that you kind of like almost rebelled in that way? Have you kind of spent some time thinking about that or unpacking that?
Yeah, because I think I wanted to be in control of my own destination. Like, I really wanted to have I'm such a values-driven person. I wanted to make sure that the destination is where I wanted to go specifically rather than what was expected of me. And it's really hard. It's a lonely journey, I have to say. When you do that, I find, and I almost feel envious of the people that just sort of take more conventional paths because it's a road less traveled when you like keep doing this. And then it looks confusing on LinkedIn or on your resume. I think there's certainly a through line. That quarter life crisis kind of lasted for a few years, and I ended up completely doing a 180 on my journey, making a hard turn to go to graduate school for design and animation. I studied systems engineering and then did business, and then I went to school for design, which is like, I was such the anomaly. And I think to be on a particular path and then to say, oh, I don't want to do business and ops anymore. I want to be a designer. And I want to animate stuff. I want to do like motion graphics or opening titles. And then now that I've done client services, what people expect is like, you're going to do more of that, right? You're going to do branding and design. And I actually really want to build a product. I want to build a platform, and I want to do something more in tech. I definitely have these distinct destination sort of desires that bubble up, and I don't know where they come from. It's almost like decades at a time. And to be honest, it makes it really more challenging. But I don't know. At the same time, I'm sort of like, well, I got to go for it. Seems messier.
It is interesting because like, I think when you start out your career, you don't know what you don't know, right? And you're the youngest, the least experienced person in the room. And it's hard then sometimes to navigate that space knowing that your end goal, you may not achieve your end goal for the next 20 years, but you're kind of like, but 20 years is a long time. Like yep. To have faith and to trust that you'll get there is a tough thing.
Angie, what sort of advice do you have for people who are either starting their career from scratch or maybe even shifting industries, trying to change their career?
The hardest and the most paralyzing thing is often the fear of making the wrong choice. Is this the right job I should take? Is this the right path I should take? And I think one of the things I always tell people when they're in those moments is to recognize that no decision is undoable, right? So you take a job you don't like, quit it and get another job. You find a program that you're studying and you don't like it, quit it and find a new one. Now, that said, it makes it sound like it's super flippant, but I think that when I give this advice to someone who's agonizing over making the right choice, chances are this person's already kind of, I mean, they already have the mental set to kind of agonize already, right? So in some ways, they're looking for assurances that they can still end up at their destination regardless of the choices that they make. And to some degree, it's a self-selecting process where if you're agonizing about making the right decision, then chances are you will have the decision-making criteria that will serve you well over time. And so I really do try to encourage people to do what I couldn't do at the beginning, which is to trust the journey, and that if you act with integrity, that you act with care with the relationships and the people around you, then you will find yourself in a good place and you will be happier knowing that you got there in the right way.
Yeah, I would say power of now is sort of the big theme, because all you have is what you know now. In my experience, I've been privileged to work with a number of college age students or recent graduates in the last 2 years in particular. And the thing that I've observed the most is like, there's so much that they don't know. Even is like, I don't even know what I want to do because I don't really know what's out there and what these jobs even mean. And so I would say three things come to mind of like, what would I tell somebody who's graduating? I'd say, number one, you need to learn some hard skills. Like, you need to be able to contribute value. So learn how to do something that actually, like, you can show up and add value right away. The only way to learn whether or not you like something is to experience it. So just try. So that's very similar to what Angie just said. Just try it. Like, do it. It might be the wrong thing for you, but you'll only find out by trying it. And then the last thing is, it's good to set goals. It really is. Like, while I'm such a process journey person, I think that it's really important to have your eyes set on something and have the flexibility to shift that or pivot and change that. But I think it's important to set goals based on what you know right now. And it could be a year from now or 3 years from now. It doesn't have to be very long, but you need to have some objective, because the problem, if you don't, the risk is that no one else is looking out for your career. And so most often, if you don't have your eyes set on growth and some specific destination, it's more likely that you'll hit some sort of stasis or just not end up anywhere. And I think those kind of three little nuggets to just continue to build your career that way, then you look back and I think you'll have a huge wealth of skills that you've added to your tool belt. You'll know from experience intuitively what you like and don't like, and you'll have achieved a lot of stuff because you've set all these different goals and destinations. And I think it's the accumulation of that that really creates a career. Did you ever, curious to know, I feel like if anytime I set a destination and I achieve it, I feel grossly undersatisfied. Have you felt that? Where it's like, well, this is it. Like once I was a creative director, I think the best part of it was I felt like this feels right. Mm. I'm more of a strategic thinker. I love the client relationship. I love empathizing and understanding the client and motivating teams. There's a lot of that that came together for me in terms of my natural abilities. And also it was like, I think there's a part of me that doesn't want to just keep doing the same thing over and over of like cut and paste, fill in the blank of a different client, different project, but same sort of thing. And I usually want the next challenge. And so I think that's part of why I'm so journey driven, because I feel like it's like, once you get to the destination, it's like, what do you do when you arrive there? You know what I mean? But I actually think to some extent that's been problematic in my career. Like, I probably need more balance there.
Yeah. For myself, I think that I have a tendency to idealize. You know, I mean, I don't think you spend over a decade working in startups if you don't have a robust sense of imagination about what can be. And so similarly, I think I tend to idealize what the end outcome is going to be. So if you're going to idealize what it's like to finally achieve your goal of, you know, being partner at a firm or being a CMO somewhere, chances are you're not thinking about the annoying parts of it, right? The politics, the financial risk, the challenges of navigating, you know, personalities or whatever those things are. And so the realities of your day-to-day will feel different than like what you imagine being like the opening sequence of like a 90s film where there's like a, you know, successful woman walking through New York and, you know, the air is crisp and you're wearing the perfect outfit and your hair is great and you're on your way to like a boardroom and all those things. But the reality of it is a little bit more practical, right? Your days are spent in meetings. You still have to go through annoying approval processes for things. Right. You know, all those things are normal. But for me, I think what has been interesting is really thinking about like, how do I define myself outside of my career, which is something that has really been weighing on my mind a lot, is that because I am so ambitious and so career oriented, I've always thought of myself as being like, okay, so what do I want to achieve next in my career? But I took a sabbatical, I guess it was over a year ago, and quit a job I didn't love. It was like the least Angie thing to do. I was like, what am I going to do with my time? Like, I need a reset.
Yeah, why did you do a sabbatical? What drove the reset?
I mean, I've been working for 20 years nonstop. The last decade of it had been working at fast growth startups. I was working like 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I was like, what am I doing this for?
Did you feel burned out? Was there a burnout factor as well?
I did. I also think that I found myself in a role that I was like, I don't like what I'm doing with my time. And so what am I going to do to change this? And I kept telling myself, if I just change jobs. And I was like, no, it's not changing jobs. You know, it's going to be new people. It's going to be new challenges. But like, is it really the job that's going to bring you satisfaction? So quit my job. And then I did some travel. You know, I'm in Brooklyn. I picked up pottery. That's what you do when you go on sabbatical. You learn pottery. You go to Iceland. You go to Tulum. You do all those things.
Yeah.
And it really helped me recenter myself and to kind of get back in touch with my creative side to get back in touch with the relationships I want to build and the work that I want to do. How do I want to continue my craft and what do I want to achieve in my next phase? So it was super restorative in a lot of ways.
So that's really interesting because you mentioned kind of getting back to what's meaningful to you, right? And when I look back at my career, one of my earliest mentors, he's incredible. His name is Bob Duffy, so shout out to you. He took time to mentor me. And one of the things that I remember complaining about early on was sort of like people dynamics, judgments, like you have to act a certain way to make a certain impression. I was quite cynical about it. And one of the things he said to me was, all business is the business of people. People are everywhere. You're interacting with people no matter what. And when I look back at my career, the thing that I've done all along the way at every step of the journey, regardless of what the destination was of like, now I'm going to be a creative or I'm going to be successful as a consultant, it was the people have stayed. Like those relationships, that's been a huge piece of continuity of like what people might call a network. But a lot of my colleagues became friends, and between COVID and then me doing my own startup and trying to figure out office, but wanting to do a distributed workforce and giving people flexibility, I'm a little bit bummed that I don't have that like built-in social interaction and social network to some extent, because like that has been such an important through line of the journey. I think it's finding such satisfaction in the experience of something and doing it with good people. That's the thing that brings satisfaction as opposed to checking a box or achieving a specific thing. For me, that's genuinely what tends to get me out of bed every day. I love feeling a sense of accomplishment, but I feel it much more strongly in a way that I celebrate and feel pride when it's with really good people.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's funny because one thing that we want to believe as individuals is sometimes that we're so special, that our skill set is so unique. But the reality is there a lot of people who can do what we do.
Yeah.
And who can do it really well. And I think what always stands out in my head is, you know, growing up, my dad would always tell me, he was like, all you have is your reputation. And once your reputation is damaged, it's virtually impossible to change because people will remember how you behaved, whether or not you acted with integrity. And so, you know, when you get to a point where you're a super senior executive, you know, at that point, it's less about the skills that you bring, but it's more like, okay, well, do you have people around you who want to work with you?
Right.
Are you able to attract the right partners? Are you able to inspire others to do really good work? So I agree that it is about those people relationships and really influence your success. I remember, I think it was you that asked me this question, is like, do you think it's skill or luck that leads to success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Guy Raz's thing from How I Built This. He's like, how much of your success would you attribute to luck versus hard work? And every founder has to answer that.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that I am very proud of my craft and my skill. And I do have a very hard work ethic, but it is so much about the luck of meeting the right people and building the right relationships that will in particularly define your career path later on in your career, right?
Yeah,
as you're doing totally. Your work, building an agency, you're able to get more work because the people you worked with previously are like, I want to work with Rachel again, right?
Yeah,
and similarly, like the roles that I've had, you know, when I was interviewing for this job at Samsung Next, I remember the person who was hiring me told me later on, she was like, I spoke to everyone who knew you, like all of your old bosses at all the startups you worked at.
Yeah.
I learned everything about you. And I was like, wow. I mean, it was obviously it worked out fine, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, wow. You know, if I'd burned bridges or I'd acted without integrity or I had done anything that would be problematic.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just rely upon your references to be the one to do it. So like you have to really think about it. Like life is long. You never know when you'll interact with people again. And so you always have to take a long view on that.
Yep. Marshall Goldsmith wrote What Got You Here Won't Get You There. He says that every person, I think I'm remembering this right, is generally motivated by one of four things: money, fame, power, popularity. And for me, it was process of elimination, but also I was just like, yeah, I think it's popularity, but in the sense of exactly what you talked about, I want to be defined as a person that people are like, I want to work with her in every aspect, whether it's with me, for me, or hire me as a client. But you mentioned also, you know, switching from the doer to the manager. And I think that inflection point was actually part of the driver of my sabbatical. I was really burned out. I felt this momentum, this wind behind me pushing my sail into being an executive at a network or doing more of the same, of like starting a New York office or starting another agency that's doing the same stuff. So I definitely wanted to ask myself, do I want to keep doing that? And especially in entertainment. But I also did executive coaching. I think that I've observed that people underestimate how much of a pivot in a journey it is. Like, it's actually a totally different path. I'm not designing anymore. I'm motivating others to design and trying to guide them or direct them in designing, which is two different jobs entirely. And I've had to learn how to do this job better in the same way that I learned the other. But yeah, I think that's part of what drove my desire to slam the brakes and take a look and investigate, because I was like, wait, I actually really love this path. I really like being in the management position. So what does that even mean?
I think going through your career is going to feel different than looking back on your career. So when you're faced with a decision, the evaluation as to whether or not that was a good decision or a bad decision is actually going to be something that happens in the future, right? You will rationalize it was a good decision or a bad decision based on that. So if you took the lower paying, riskier job with a startup, you'll say it was a good decision if that startup succeeded. If it didn't succeed, then you'd be like, crap. And so what I always encourage people that I work with, people on my team, people I know, is just to say, every quarter, just take a moment to look back on the decisions and see how you feel about the things that you did or the things that you achieved. So I think you have to take that moment of pause. And like, I had worked consecutively for 20 years living in New York, raising two small kids. And so finally I was just at a point where I was like, I need quiet to figure out what I'm going to do for the next part of it.
I actually want to do what you just said, asking teams to reflect more, because I also, you know, regularly am challenging them and asking them, okay, well, ask yourself and let me know, where do you want to be a year from now? What does a year from now look like? What have you achieved? What are you doing differently? And so I tend to ask them for these destination milestone points, but I guess theoretically 360 reviews and things like that are designed for reflection and that pause. I think the introspection part can be a little bit more challenging when you're doing it inside a work context and not just with some quiet and peace. One of the things that I was thinking about, Angie, when you were talking, was like, I've always, for the majority of the 20 years of my career, I have been in a project-based work environment, which is feast or famine, super intense. It's intense when you're delivering and in production, you know, like there's a deadline and then suddenly there's nothing. Like, it's just super inconsistent, and there's a built-in imbalance, which has not been the healthiest. It was very interesting. We were doing a bunch of R&D this past summer with creative talent. Some of them were freelancers, and they had said that part of the reason why they've stayed freelance is so that when they work on intense projects, they can just not work for a month, but that they can't do that inside the structure of a company or an agency. And I thought, well, that's a problem. Like, why isn't that built in to the corporate culture? I mean, we talk about like compensation, like you're compensated for your time, like, oh, you worked all weekend, take Monday off or whatever, but that's never quite enough, right? So I would love to see a movement toward that. And it's some of the things that we're even considering at Hero. How about you, Angie?
So I think one thing that has significantly changed in the way that people have to think about their careers is when I started I graduated in 99 from undergrad, you were on a corporate track. You know, like you would join a company and you had a clear path. And then from there, you would go to another corporate on a similar level. And there was like standardization of roles. And it was kind of a very much a path that laid out in front of you, at least in the field that I was working in. What's changed significantly is just the rise of startups, in that you have a lot of organizations where you as a junior level person are going to be there just to figure it out. And you are much more responsible for defining where your career goes. And with that comes an immense amount of freedom, but it also has a lot of responsibility, and it comes with it it's really important you understand your whys, like to understand what motivates you, to excites you, that where you want to go and what you want to be, so that you can then act as your own advocate in mapping out those plans. And so I definitely, when I think about like my kids, and my son's 13 and he's going to be going to college, like I want him to take a gap year before he goes to college so he can go out and see the world, maybe do some internships to see what it's like to work in different work environments, travel, see what excites him. Because when I look back, the thought that an 18-year-old self could know enough to decide what I want to do with my life is preposterous.
So, Angie, when you look back at your career so far, what do you feel like is something that you might have thought was wrong at the time, but you look back and it was more right? Or like another way to look at it is that there are some wrong decisions made along the way, but that overall it's been more right than wrong.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many mistakes I've made in my life, I'm sure. I think if you listen to your gut over the years, I've really come to realize that my gut is a thing that I use to calibrate how to navigate these complexities. The one place where I definitely did not listen to my gut, and I realized in reflection at the time I thought was the right thing, was I took a job, showed up on day one, literally looked around at my peers, and I asked myself, what am I doing here? This is so not the right place for me. But because I was like, well, I said yes, I don't want to quit a job too soon, I just stayed. And then fast forward a year, 15 months later, I quit without a plan. And at the time, everyone was like, that's a dumb idea. Like, get another job. Like, everyone kept telling me it was the absolute wrong thing to do. And I realized on retrospect, I shouldn't have taken that job in the first place. And it was absolutely the right thing to do to quit a job without a plan at that point in time.
How did we not know that that's exactly the same? That was the precedent for my sabbatical as well. I took a job first couple of weeks. It's like, this is not the right place for me, and told them, but wrote it out to finish the main task at hand and went on a sabbatical. So like literally it was the same. I wonder if there's a correlation that that's what preempted the break, because it's like the last position was not right. So then it's like, oh shit, I have to take some time to really figure out what is right for me. But that's so funny that I didn't realize that that was the last position that you had before you went on your sabbatical too.
Yeah, I think that that probably reflects the fact that we are such dedicated people that we end up quitting only when we feel like it's like no other choice left. Like we've tried everything to fix it. We've done everything we can to try to make it work, and it just didn't quite get there.
Completely.
I think I live also with this whole more right than wrong thing every day as a working mom, where I'm just like, okay, sometimes this gets dialed up and then sometimes this gets dialed down. And that's something that I've had to really balance and figure out over the years is how do I do both in a way that I can feel satisfied with my performance on both.
I think, Angie, you said this earlier. It's like, it's so subjective, and it's entirely about at what point in time are you reflecting on it and what is your opinion of it. And in a lot of ways, if you're grateful for everything that led you to this place, then overall, there was no real wrong.
So, Rachel, it was super fun chatting with you last week. And it's great to get together again. So after you've had some time to process, what did you take away from the conversation?
Well, first of all, it's always super fun chatting with you. I don't know. I think that one of the first things that come to my mind is that relationships are everything. The people we meet along the way are so critical to our journey professionally, and that we can sort of have the faith of acting generously and paying it forward, because honestly, you never really know how it'll come around, and oftentimes back in your favor.
I so agree with that. I can think of like 10 instances in my career where I'm so glad, no matter how bad I felt about something, I didn't burn a bridge because I knew that it came back to really kind of support me.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I really felt validated about was, you know, when I chose to leave a job without a job and to take a sabbatical, it was really scary for me. And I felt really, it was really great to hear that I'm not alone, in the sense that there's real value to taking a timeout, like a real timeout, not just like a step back, but like a real timeout to kind of reassess what you want and to make the active decisions to make sure that your career is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, it's really hard to be in it and then actually take stock of where you want to go, because you're just in the weeds, right?
So true. It's so true.
And like, and speaking of, I mean, those are really bold, scary decisions, right? When you slam the brakes and then pivot hard and say, I'm going to take a break. So I actually found it extremely encouraging that I felt reassured that it's kind of unlikely. There are a few choices that you can't come back from, right? Like the older I get, the more I really believe in trusting the process. And every move we make is an opportunity to grow and learn, even if it really sucked.
I so agree. I agree. It is nice to know that nothing is forever. So to everyone listening, thank you. If you want to get in touch with us and chat more about the episode, hit us up on socials. And of course, subscribe to More Right Than Wrong if you haven't already. And if you feel like it, leave us a cute review. Thank you so much. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
Woo! Cute reviews.